This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's running a whole kit and caboodle over at FanSided these days as their editor-in-chief. To me, he's an NFL insider. He's Jason Cohen. He's here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Ben Jace.
I'm great. What's going on, Jody?
Good. Appreciate you coming on board. Thanks for asking. Not so good for the National Football League with what transpired in Cleveland the other night. There are two stages to these things now. What happens on the field and then how the NFL deals with it afterwards in meriting out fines and punishments and everything else. So I'll start there. How good, bad, or indifferent a job did Roger Goodell et al. Do in handling the melee in Pittsburgh after the fact?
Well, they were immediate. I mean, they took care of the rest of the season, which is six games for Garrett, which is about right. I know it's indefinite, so it could go into next season. I mean, that would be ridiculous to me. If you look at the Antonio Smith penalty fine and suspension for basically the same thing and what Albert Haynesworth got, I think five or six games is right in the ballpark of what it should be. Yeah, it's ugly. It was stupid. You know, like the impulse control. You know, even if Mason Rudolph said what he said.
Said what he allegedly said.
Yeah, if he did, and that's an if, okay, because there's certainly a denial on his side. If he said something racially insensitive, Myles Garrett has to keep it cool because this is hurting his team and distracting from a victory where these teams are trying to get on the same path. And if it's true, you go and face that man somewhere else or you deal with it through the league quietly. Now, if Mason Rudolph said it, you better get prepared to get your ass handed to you as well. you deserve that if you say it, in a sense. But, you know, this is football and they have rules. So I don't have a problem with the penalty. I have some big questions about who's telling the truth in this one or what was actually said. But six games, at the end of the day, six games is about right. And the NFL is on target with this one.
All right, fair enough. To the racial epithet that was supposedly thrown out by Mason Rudolph but denied by him and accused of it by Myles Garrett, but not till more than 24 hours after the fact. Unfortunately, NFL Films or whatever broadcast network had the game didn't have mics close enough to confirm or deny what was or wasn't said. Somehow they catch Sam Darnold talking about ghosts on the sidelines, but they can't get Mason Rudolph supposedly throwing racial epithet.
The Joker is a little upset about the Jets coverage, but that's okay.
Understood. there's no it's becoming he said he said thing. So there's no way for the NFL to prove it, even if players on the field wanted. I was right there. I was blocking for him. I kicked him after the fact because I would have never kicked him if I heard him.
Here's the other thing about the whole thing, okay? They're basically face-to-face, right? Like, and there's all this noise. Like, it's not like this happened in a library. Okay, so, you know, the fact that somebody else didn't hear it, yeah, there's no definitive proof. The only two people who really know what was said are Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett, right? The 24 hours thing, I don't necessarily, say that, that's proof that he's not guilty because Garrett should have said something right then. I don't know about that. What if he's trying to get himself calmed down and measure the situation and wants to deal with it in private? What if he thinks, if I say this out loud, there are consequences to me saying out loud that affect a lot of people. I would rather say it in private to the league and deal with it privately. What if that is how he's been taught to deal with these things?
And to hasn't he also been taught to not swing his helmet at a guy who doesn't have a helmet on?
Right, but this may he had time to think between the moment when he reacted and when he talked after the game. There's a cooling off period. There's 10, 15, 20 minutes. It was probably a good half hour, and he had time to consider what was he going to say. And he chose not to say it at that point in time. Maybe. Or maybe he's making it up. I don't know. But the fact that people sit here and say, well, he should have said it right after the game, I don't necessarily buy that. Okay. I really don't. Now, again, if you're going to say that, you better have some pretty good proof. Otherwise, it's a private moment between you and Mason Rudolph where you got to look at him and say, look, I know what you said. And if I get my shot at you, I'm not holding up, pal. And that's sort of what happens with that one. And Mason Rudolph has to deal with it. But when you don't have definitive proof, it makes it hard to make an accusation like that. You have that's the difficult part of this whole process.
Jason Cole, NFL insider and chief of Fansided, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, back to the football aspect of it. How badly are the Browns going to miss Myles Garrett?
Well, I mean, he's their best player, on the entire team. He's better than Odell, and he's better than Baker Mayfield. Now, he's not as important as Baker Mayfield because Mayfield's quarterback, but he's their best player. So they're going to miss him a lot. From a leadership standpoint, I don't think they'll lose anything. I mean, Garrett hasn't really been focused all season. And, what people tell me from inside that building are he's not a leader. He's a big kid who happens to be really, really good at football and plays it because he makes a lot of money, but he's not totally in love with the game. So from that standpoint, I don't think they lose much, but he is freakishly talented. So, from that perspective, you need to have guys who impact the X's and O's of the game. He impacts the X's and O's of the game. But do you really think Cleveland's going anywhere anyways? I know that they'd like to dream about making a run here in the second half, but I don't think it's happening. Mm. I do think that the wild card spots in the AFC are pretty wide open, and a 9-7 team or maybe even an 8-8 team could make it. But I don't think that Cleveland's getting 8-8.
Well, if Myles Garrett were playing, because I'm with you, I think he's their best player. Might not be the most integral player because you're right, quarterback as compared to a defensive pass rusher. The rest of their schedule is Miami at Pittsburgh, the hapless Bengals, Arizona, Baltimore. All right, that's an L. And then Cincinnati again. So that's a pretty soft last six
games. And what are they? 4-6.
They're 4-6, yeah. So they're going to be favored in probably five of the games.
Let's put it that way. They're the favorite in five of those games. They should win at least four. So, there is a shot at 8-8. But, God, the quality of how they have played overall for this season, they're 8-8 only because the conference is so bad.
True. And that's part of it. It gets even difficult to get to 8-8 with. Out Myles Garrett, which they have to deal with.
You got two games against Cincinnati and got Miami. I mean, those teams are basically no shows.
You got to take advantage of that. All right. What effect, if any, does it have on Mason Rudolph?
Well, I don't think it has any because it can't be proved. But if you could prove it, yeah. I mean, and I would say this: if I'm one of his teammates, I'm probably looking at him going, "So what happened?" And I kind of want to know. Where are you at? What's going on in your head? Is this true? So there's some suspicion there. But I think we live in an age, especially if you're under the age of 30, where things have to be. People want to see proof. They want to see something definitive. They want to see it on camera. They want to see it recorded. We live in an EdTV world where video and audio is so prevalent that neither side believes anything, about anything unless they see it in actual video. I mean, newspapers have no efficacy at all in this day and age unless they have a video of the incident or audio of an incident.
That's right, too. People like hands-on stuff. How would you describe Rudolph's play? Is he the future quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers? And does this particular incident have much impact on that?
How do you judge when he's playing with all that crap that he's playing next to? I mean, come on. I mean, like, the offensive line's okay, but, you know, Connor's been hurt, and, you know, Smith-Schuster, yeah. Yeah, they're learning he's a number two. They don't really have a tight end. I mean, like, they just don't have any weapons on that team right now. Yeah, and so I think it's kind of hard to judge that guy. I think he looks okay, but if I'm Mike Tomlin or Art Rooney, like, when's Ben getting back? When's he going to be healthy?
We'll see if Ben better hang in there, because Eli and Phillip Rivers, the class of 2004, is not going well these days. Rivers having a bad game the other night, throwing four picks and the late interception, which took the Chargers out of that game. One other team I wanted to ask you about. You mentioned, well, what does Mason Rudolph really have around him? I'm asking the same question about Carson Wentz and the Eagles these days, because their wide receivers just have an unbelievable case of the drops. Zach Ertz is a very good tight end. The running game's okay, but Howard
Ertz is a great tight end.
Very good. All right, call him great if you want. I might be shortchanging him. But their wide receiving core is A, bad, and B, hurt. And Carson Wentz is getting second-guessed left, right, and center down in Philadelphia. Is he one of those guys you go, well, how can you really judge when he's being asked to play with what he's being asked to play with?
I think he's actually played pretty well. Do you think that? I mean, I don't think that Carson Wentz has played poorly this year. I don't think the results are great, but when you're talking about them leading the league in drops, which they do, how's that on Carson Wentz?
That's kind of what I say. But down in Philadelphia, all people want to talk about is, yeah, but Nick Foles got us to the Super Bowl.
What do they want instead? To get Nick Foles back? He's your quarterback. You know, live with it. You're not every player every year is going to be so hot, and you got to ride with guys as they figure it out. Especially guys, we're talking the second year removed from the injury. But if your receivers are leading the league in drops, and your stats are pretty decent, other than that, doesn't that mean you'd be playing good football if they would just catch the ball for you?
That's what I think. Last thing for Jason Cole. Same question with Rudolph, into Wentz, into another quarterback who's pretty well known, as to whether he is what he once was or what level he's playing at and what he has around him and the like. Where is elder statesman Tom Brady at these days, according to Jason Cole?
The way I would look at this, they don't have any weapons. They don't have weapons at tight end. They don't have weapons at receiver. Edelman, and I know people say, well, Edelman is really good as a complimentary player. You know, you don't live and die and change. You know, like, the opposing team doesn't change its X's and O's to deal with Julian Edelman. It just says, okay, we got to account for him a little bit, right? But they don't sit there and go, oh, God, he scares us. Like, we got to roll coverage to him every single time, and we can't single him up at all. That doesn't happen. So to me, the rumors about Antonio Brown being on their radar earlier this week made complete sense. The fact that they won't re-sign him also makes complete sense, because they're just not going to go down that road. But as for Tom Brady, are you really going to bet against them?
Yeah, they're not. You look up and they're 9-1. Even though I watched the whole game last week against the Eagles, their offense looked less effective than I can remember it, probably since Brady got there. And nobody does put the fear of God into it. But they're 9-1. And it doesn't matter how they win, how they do it, they still get the 9-1.
If your mortal soul is resting on it, are you betting against them?
Well, if the Ravens get there
that's a no, Joe.
The Ravens get there in the championship game. We got six more weeks of regular season, and we'll see how the playoffs shake out.
I like the hesitation.
Get back to me in late January. I'm at least thinking about it. Right now, the answer is no. You're right. The answer would be no today. But I'm going to give the Ravens the chance to continue doing what they're doing because they're pretty damn exciting. Jason, great.
They need guys. That's what the bottom line is.
Fair enough. Jason, always a pleasure, brother. Appreciate whenever you hop on. We'll do this again soon. Thanks, bud.
Absolutely. Take care.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.